All right, this morning we are talking about pruning. Say pruning. Awesome. It's a little dark. I don't know why. So if you don't know, most everything in the natural realm has a parallel in the spiritual realm. Did you know that? Yes or no? Yes. Most everything in the natural realm has some sort of parallel in the spiritual realm, okay? The physical realm is less real than the spiritual realm, right? The spiritual realm is so incredibly real. Even though we don't see it, touch it, it is more real than even what we can feel with our physical bodies, okay? And so the Lord has set up all these different things on the earth to teach us about spiritual ways, okay? One of those things is pruning, and there's a universal law about pruning that teaches us if you will prune a vine or a tree or whatever it is, it will bring more life. It will bear more fruit. And so this week, as we're preparing for today, I just really felt like the Lord said that's what we're supposed to talk about. So get out your Bibles. We're going to be looking at Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, verse 1. Mark chapter 4, verse 1. If you got it, say amen. If you don't, say nemma. Okay. Mark chapter 4, verse 1. Here we go. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake. And while the people were along the shore at the water's edge, he taught them many things by parables. And in his teaching said, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow seed. And as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. And the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil, and it came up, grew, and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, 60, some even 100 times." And then skip up to verse 20. "Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, some 30, some 60, and some 100 times what was sown." Okay? So God's intention for you is that you be good soil and that you bear much fruit. Amen? God's desire for you, his expectation for you, is that you will bear 30, 60, even 100-fold the fruit. Okay? That's what he expects. That's what he desires. But did you know that fruit weighs a lot? Anybody ever picked up one of those crates of oranges? Okay? They're heavy. I don't know how many pounds, but 30 pounds maybe? How many? Maybe, yeah, they're very heavy. You put it in your fridge and it'll snap the shelves if you're not careful. Fruit is heavy. And in order for a farmer to produce a lot of fruit, like 100 times what he planted, he needs to create the atmosphere for that to happen. He has to create the infrastructure for that to happen. He has to prepare the soil, tend the crops, water them, and feed them. He has to weed them. And if it's a vine or a tree that will last year after year after year after year, then he has to give time and space for that tree to prepare for the weight of the fruit he intends for it to bear. Okay? So if he doesn't take care of the crop, if it's a tree and it just begins to grow a bunch of fruit and he lets it go, it will begin to pull downwards. And when the branch goes downwards, it's not going to be a healthy branch and it eventually will quit growing like it's supposed to. It will never reach its potential if it's untended. All right? So the vine dresser or the farmer or the gardener, in order to bear much fruit, has to prune his crop to allow it to prepare for maximum growth. Jesus talked about this. Open in John chapter 15. Open in John chapter 15. I want you to see this. Verse 1. If you got it, say amen. It says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener." Jesus is explaining, he's the vine, God is the gardener. "He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit." Say, ouch. While every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. So if you're doing great in your spiritual walk and you're bearing much fruit, congratulations. He's going to chop off a chunk of your body. Verse 3, you're already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. And neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Say amen. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can't do anything. If you do not remain in me, you're like a branch that is thrown out and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Verse 9, as the Father has loved me, so I've loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I've told you this, so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. If you are my friends, if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I've made known to you. You didn't choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you that you might go and bear fruit, and fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command, love each other. So Jesus taught that the Father is the gardener. You're the vine, the branches. We got to be connected with him. He tells us that we love him. We remain in his love if we obey his commands. His command is to love people the same way that he loved people. Plain and simple, okay? When God looks at you, he sees the ultimate ideal, the most fruitful version of you. Do you know that's true? So when God looks at you, he doesn't see all the shortcomings. He doesn't see all of the lacking fruit. He doesn't see those things. He sees what you could become. He sees what he dreamt of you becoming from the day that you were put into your mommy's belly. Okay? When he glances at you, he automatically sees the greatness, the most that you could become. His every thought is to move you to becoming that person he knows that you can be. Okay? He champions you becoming the best version of you more than anybody else in the whole world. Isn't that good? So in the verse 15, John chapter 15, I want you to notice God cuts off the branches who bear no fruit, right? Notice that he cuts off the branches that even bear good fruit so that it will be more fruitful. So if you're bearing good fruit, get chopped off. You're going to bear even more fruit. That's how he works. If you are bearing much fruit, it glorifies God. And furthermore, you being in such a relationship with God that you can ask for anything he gives it to you, thus bearing fruit, he loves that, and he's glorified by that kind of relationship because it shows that you're a real follower of him. Okay? So God's desire is that you have a relationship with him where you can ask him for anything, and he, yes, I'd love to give that to you. That's because it's so in line with my heart. Absolutely, here you go. Right? That's his desire. That's what he wants. Notice also that Jesus says, if you keep his command, you will remain in his love. And his command is to love people the same way that he loves people. All right? And notice that Jesus chose and appointed you so that you can bear much fruit. Fruit that's lasting. Okay? And that's fruit for the king. Fruit for the farmer, fruit for the gardener, good fruit. So another conversation for another day is what that fruit is that we bear for the king. But for now, we're just going to say that loving people the way that Jesus loves people, that's the fruit we're going for, okay? But today, we're paying attention to the pruning process. So what does it mean to prune? In King James chapter 15, it doesn't use the word prune. Verse 2, it actually uses the word purgeth. Say purgeth. It's like a pirate word. We've been around Pirates of the Caribbean too much. Purgeth. Which means to cleanse of filth or impurities. Okay? So to purge is to clean of filth or impurities. So the gardener loves to cleanse of filth and impurities so that the vine can be healthy. He purgeth. He prunes, okay? It means to prune trees and vines from useless shoots. Little parts that are jumping out and they're not going to bear real fruit. They're not going to be helpful for the ultimate growth of the tree. He snips them off. He gets rid of them. He cleans them out. He purges those of useless shoots. So how do you feel about the image of God coming up to you with pruning shears? Like, hey, you're doing such a great job. Let me just help you. Shoom! Chop off a big chunk of you, right? That doesn't sound very fun, does it? No, Grant, that doesn't sound fun. How do you feel about the Lord, a little more probably religious picture, but the idea of God put me through the fire and burn out all my impurities, right? We're like, oh, yeah, okay, that's maybe not as bad. Even though when you really think about it, it's like fire burning every part of you to get to purge you, to get the junk out like silver is done. Psalm 66:10 says, you, God, tested us. You refined us like silver, which means that God is committed to you becoming the best you that you can be. He does that through purging. Ugh. He does that through pruning. He does that through refining fire. Which hurts. Is that right? But he doesn't do it because he's a cruel dad. He does it because he loves us and he wants you to become the very best you that he can be. And he understands. He set up the universal principle of pruning. He set it up. And he understands if he's diligent, number one, if you will let him, and if you will let him, if he's diligent to prune you and keep you on the track, you will grow into that most beautiful you that he intends for you to be, okay? Either way, God's process, this is his process with those he loves. I've got a crazy verse for you to chew on for a minute, okay? Hebrews 12:6. King James, this is real exciting. It may not sound too fun, but this is the Bible. Hebrews 12:6. King James says, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receives. Say, ooh. Whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and he scourgeth. Every son whom he receives. So everybody who becomes a son of God, congratulations, you just came into the kingdom of God. Yay, this is awesome. He scourgeth. Okay, in another translation, New Living Translation. Same verse, Hebrews 12:6. For the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes each one he accepts as his child. Scratch your head a little bit. Like, wait a minute. I thought when I accepted Jesus, this was going to be like hunky-dory, dandy-do, pretty awesome, right? But now it's saying he's going to punish me because I got accepted as his son? I don't understand. Here's another one. ESV, Hebrews 12:6, English Standard Version. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastises every son whom he receives. Okay? That's what the Word of God says. Doesn't sound too fun. But Proverbs 3:12 in the New Living says, for the Lord corrects those he loves just as a father corrects a child in whom he delights in. All right? Do you know that as truth? So I love my children. I want them to become the very best that they could possibly be. If I just let them run wild and let them live however the heck they want to live, they're going to get hurt. They're going to get injured. They very likely will be killed before too long. Even just in the last week, I think of three situations where if I did not love them, they would be dead. Right? Love disciplines because love can see the bigger picture of what they can become. And love understands if you don't correct, then it's going to, it just can't grow like it's supposed to. It becomes like a weed. A weed left unchecked is just kind of a fruitless, it might grow a little tall, but it's never going to go anywhere. It's never going to do anything. It's never going to become help to anybody anywhere. But if you tend to it and you water it and you feed it and you take care of it, a weed can become something beautiful and helpful and pleasant, right? This is 100% how we are as earthly fathers. And we recognize this attitude as good and right because we know that if we train up a child in the way they should go, when he's old, he will not depart from it. Proverbs 22:6. If we're diligent to work now when they're young, they will make it down the right path. Okay? So I want to teach you guys a little bit of pruning education. Understanding you are a child of God, congrats, and I'm sorry, he might scourgeth you a little bit to help you become all that you're supposed to be. But it's only because he loves you. But yes, it might hurt some. And in the process, it might not make any sense to you. Because when he prunes you, he's looking 5 years, 10 years down the road of who you're supposed to become. When he looks at you, he's seeing this beautiful, you know, 40, 50-foot tree that's bringing shade to so many people, and it has fruit all around. And you might just be a little sapling thinking, ow, I had one branch and you just chopped it off. What the heck are you doing? But he sees the big picture, and he's always working towards your best interest to help you get there, even though it makes no sense now in the process, okay? So let's do a little pruning education. What is pruning? The definition of pruning is to trim by cutting away dead or overgrown branches or stems, especially to increase fruitfulness and growth, okay? It's very simple. To trim by cutting away the dead or overgrown branches or stems, especially to increase the growth. I'm going to read this whole chunk from Wikipedia for you. It's the world's most accurate resource, okay? Fruit tree pruning. Now, I want you to pay attention as I read, okay? It's like a page. As I read, I want you to just begin to clue in. The natural always parallels stuff in the spiritual. So as I read, what are you seeing in the natural that the Lord is doing in you in the spiritual, okay? Fruit tree pruning is the cutting and removing of parts of a fruit tree. It covers a number of horticultural techniques that control growth, remove dead and diseased wood, and stimulate the formation of flowers and fruit buds. Pruning often means cutting branches back, sometimes removing smaller limbs entirely. It may also mean removal of young shoots, buds, leaves, etc. Careful attention to pruning and training young trees affects their later productivity and longevity. Good pruning and training can also prevent later injury from weak crotches or forks, where the tree trunks split in two or more branches, that break from the weight of fruit, snow, or even on ice or branches. So if you're diligent in the young times, you can prevent breaking and total collapse down the road. Okay? Plants form new tissue in an area called the meristem, located near the tips of roots and shoots where active cell division takes place. Meristem growth is aimed at ensuring that leaves are quickly elevated into the sunlight and that roots are able to penetrate deeply into the soil. Once adequate height and length is achieved by the stems and roots, they begin to thicken to support the plant. On the shoots, these growing tips of the plant are called apical buds, or the tip. The tip produces the growth hormone auxin, which not only promotes cell division, but also diffuses downwards and inhibits the development of lateral bud growth that otherwise competes with the tip for light and nutrients. Okay? So at the tip, there's this nutrient that prevents the rest of the branch from growing. Okay, that's the key to pruning. Okay? This nutrient is preventing the rest from becoming what it's supposed to be. Removing the tip and its suppressive hormone lets lower dormant lateral buds develop. And the buds between the leaf stalk and the stem produce new shoots that compete to become the lead growth. All right? So when you chop off that nutrient, when you chop off the tip, it allows the rest of the body to come to life and begin to compete for growth. So it grows faster. Manipulating this natural response to damage, known as the principle of apical dominance, by processes such as pruning, allows the arborist to determine the size, the shape, productivity, and many fruiting trees and bushes. The main aim when pruning fruit trees is usually to maximize fruit yield. Unpruned trees tend to produce large numbers of small fruits that may be difficult to reach when harvesting by hand. Branches can become broken by the weight of the crop, and the cropping may become every other year. Overpruned trees, on the other hand, tend to produce light crops of large, flavorless fruit that do not store well. Careful pruning balances shoot growth and fruit production. All right? So it's the pruning is the manipulation of that process of what happens when damage occurs. And then that allows for specific growth so that the gardener can literally control the future growth of the size, the shape, the taste, the shelf life of the fruit, how large the fruit is. He can control all these things if he's diligent to it, okay? In the early years of a tree's life, it's important to develop a framework sufficiently strong to bear the weight of crops. And this requires formative pruning to reinforce the tree. And when they plant a new tree, they basically leave it as a stick. Anything that pops off on the sides, they trim it all off for the whole first year. They want it to grow, you know, up to 30 inches, 36, 40 inches, something like that. And they want the roots to really focus on going deep. They don't want anything going right or left, so they trim it all. And then year two, they come through and they chop it off and they let it grow and they do some more pruning. It's a four-year process before they expect any fruit of any kind. And any fruit that does come along the way in the first few years, they chop it off. They don't want the fruit because the tree can't handle it. It's not healthy for the life of the tree in the beginning stages. All right? 4 years from when that poor little tree begins. All right? Now I want to read you 10 basics of when and how to prune fruit trees and see if you can relate any of these processes to your spiritual life with God. All right? The first one is probably the least easy one to take a look at. Number one, prune fruit trees. This is by Paul Vossen. It's called The 10 Basics of When and How to Prune Fruit Trees by Paul Vossen. Number one, prune fruit trees when the leaves are off or dormant. It's easy to see what you're doing in removal of dormant buds. Growing points invigorates the remaining buds. Summer pruning removes leaves and slows fruit ripening and exposes fruit to sunburn. Summer pruning can be used, however, to slow down overly vigorous trees or trees that are too large. It is most effective in early summer. Okay, so perhaps you have maybe a believer. This one's maybe a more of a stretch, but a vigorous believer who's growing very fast and maybe overreaching the bounds just a little bit. The gardener will use pruning in that vigorous growth time to hold it back so that the rest of the body can grow into a healthy state before it gets as far as it wants to go. Okay, number two. Right after planting a new tree, cut it off to a short stick, 24 to 30 inches high, and cut any side shoots remaining below that to 1 to 2 buds. This encourages low branching and equalizes the top and root system. Okay? Paint the tree with a white latex paint to protect it from sunburn or borer attack. So new believers coming into the Lord, they have one focus. Okay? They just came to Jesus. They don't need to be growing out this way. They don't need to be focusing on other stuff. They have one focus. Look up to the sun and let your roots grow deep. That is your only focus. That's your only purpose in this season, is to look up to the sun and let your roots grow deep. And if they start focusing on other places and letting other ministries or other passions in the Lord, whatever it is, to start growing, they won't become a healthy tree. The Lord will prune those so that they stay focused on becoming a healthy, strong tree. Number three, low vigor young trees should be pruned fairly heavily and encouraged to grow rapidly in the first 3 years without much fruit. Leave most of the small horizontal branches untouched for later fruiting. Vigorous growing young trees can be pruned much less and not at all and encouraged to fruit earlier with the branch bending. Okay? So if you've got a young believer who is growing really strong and doing really good, the gardener is probably going to prune them much less. So if you're newer in the Lord and you're wanting to grow in the Lord, continue growing if you don't want to be pruned because he'll let you grow. But if you're a younger believer and you're not really moving forward much, he's going to be pruning you a whole lot more to stimulate you to begin to grow in different places. It's just fascinating. I love this stuff. Okay. Number four. Topping a vertical branch encourages vegetative growth necessary for development of the tree and creates a bushing effect. Topping horizontal branches is done to renew fruiting wood and to thin off excessive fruit. Thinning vertical branches opens the tree to more light. Thinning horizontal branches removes fruit. Horizontal branches left uncut will bear earlier and heavier crops. So pruning the vertical spiritual life allows God's light to fill the soul and to bring more. Okay? So I want you to think of the vertical branches are the ones going straight up and down. I want the horizontal branches are the ones that hold the weight of the fruit. The fruit come from the horizontal branches. What do you think the horizontal could be? Yeah. Vertical, God, reaching out to people. Okay? Isn't that interesting? So the fruit comes from when you're reaching out with people, but it can't come unless you're reaching up and have a healthy life vertically. And you have that sunlight and the wind coming into your life. This can't bear fruit without this. Isn't that cool? So pruning of the vertical spiritual life allows for more of God's light to fill the soul and bring life to the body. Pruning of the horizontal branches, the relational branches with others, will help the branches grow stronger and be able to handle the heavier weight of the fruit. The fruit doesn't so much come from the vertical reach, but from the horizontal reach. But without the vertical reach and pruning of the sunlight coming down into the branches, the horizontal branches can't bear great fruit. Untouched horizontal pruning will mean bigger, heavier fruit, but less fruit, and ultimately less of a reach and less growth. If that horizontal branch is pruned, it allows for greater capacity to bear more fruit with others. Number five, upright branches generally remain like leaves, vegetative and vigorous. Horizontal branches generally are more fruitful. A good combination of the two is necessary for fruiting now and in future years. Okay, we already talked about that. Up and out. Number six, remove diseased or branches broken. Remove suckers, water spouts, and most competing branches growing straight up into the tree. Downward bending branches eventually lose their vigor and they produce only a few small fruit. God is always going to strive to remove the dead stuff from your life. You've got an old hurt, you've got an old wound, something that happened in your life. If you will allow him, because he's a good pruner, his job is to remove the dead stuff so that you can grow and be healthy, okay? So if you're like, God, I give you everything, and then he starts poking on this one pain in your life, in your past, it's because he wants to remove the dead stuff. Anything inside of you that's competing against yourself, he'll chop off a branch so that you quit competing and you can grow in a healthy way. Anything that's beginning to look downwards, instead of looking up towards him, he will chop it off so that you can continue to focus on him, because the best fruit comes when you're looking up at him, right? Number seven, new growth occurs right where you make the cut. The influence of the cut happens within 1 to 8 inches of the cut surface. And if the cut is clean, it doesn't get into the root system. It doesn't make it into the main branch. So if the Lord's pruning you, wherever he's pruning you, he expects fruit and new life to grow in that one specific area. Okay? Number eight, sun-exposed wood remains fruitful and produces the largest fruit. Huh. Interesting. Shaded branches eventually stop fruiting and will never produce again without drastic topping and renewal of the entire tree. Do most of the pruning in the top of the tree so that the lower branches are exposed to sunlight. Okay? If you want your life to bear much fruit, you have to be exposed to the sun. You have to be exposed to the light of the sun. And the more exposed to the light of the sun you are, the stronger your branch will be and the more fruit you will bear. So if you're shaded from the light of the sun and you're not with him a whole lot, you're not going to bear much fruit. But if you want to, open it up, be with him, be in his light, and you will bear fruit. Number nine, make clean cuts within 1/4 inch of a bud. Don't leave the stubs. When the Lord prunes you, he's not cruel. Because if you have a dull blade and you try to prune a branch with a dull blade, it could damage and injure the whole system. It could get back down into the tree. It could literally kill a tree if it's not cut cleanly. All right? When the Lord prunes you, he promises that he's going to do it well. He's going to cut it clean. And it will hurt for a little season in that one area, but it's not going to get into you to where it's going to kill you. Somebody needs to say hallelujah. Because sometimes when you get pruned, it feels like you're just going to die. Everything's over. Life stinks. Oh, my gosh, this is terrible. Okay, last one. Number 10, peach, nectarine, grape, and kiwi bear on last year's shoot growth, and they grow a lot, so remove at least 50% of last year's growth. For fig, olive, walnut, chestnut, pecan, almond, cherry, apple, pear, plum, they grow less vigorously, so remove about 20% of last year's growth. Okay, so spiritually, if you're growing a whole lot, you're like, man, this last year was awesome. I grew so much in the Lord. I learned to pray. I learned to fight. I learned to whatever. If you grew a whole lot last year, just be aware, this year, he wants even more fruit, which means he's going to chop off a pretty significant amount of the fruit that you just gained. He's going to take it away. He's going to have you go through the process again. They have some diagrams that were really helpful for me, but it basically showed if you have a tree and you got a branch that's growing out this way, it starts to grow out this way, and they let it get out to about here, and then they chop it off and get it back to here, okay? The next year, they let it grow again, but this time there's these little buds that are sprouting out on the top and the bottom of the branch. So that's good because it's a more healthy branch, but they're going to chop it off again back to the exact same point. So this poor little tree is like, man, I'm bearing good fruit. I'm looking good. Look how far I'm going. Ow. And then it starts growing again. Oh, man, look at me. I've got some new fruit. I got some new, but again. And the third year, they let it keep coming. And this time, it's a strong, healthy branch. Strong enough this time to hold the weight of the fruit. Isn't that interesting? So if you ever feel like, man, Lord, I learned this lesson already. I bore good fruit in this area already. What the heck? Why are you pruning me again in this same spot? It's how it works. Because he's looking 5-10 years down the road in your life saying, ooh, that's a good one. That one's going to bear a bunch of fruit. We're going to prune the heck out of this one so that you can bear the weight of the fruit to last for generations to come. Isn't that cool? So if the gardener is allowed to prune freely, y'all can figure out what I was trying to say. He is able to shape the future growth of the tree, all right, so that it's both accessible and helpful for fruit bearing. He can determine the shape. Pruning will strengthen the roots and the branches so that they can adequately handle the weight of the fruit that will come in the years in the future. It will provide a healthy mix of light and wind into the entire body of the tree so that every part of the body is healthy and can grow to its fullest potential, and that there will be no weak or dying branches that get overlooked. If he's allowed to prune freely, he's able to force areas of slow growth to once again grow and become healthy, and he's able to change the taste, the size, the quantity, and the lifespan of the fruit that's going to come from your life years down the road. Isn't that crazy? All along, the gardener's looking at some twigs, and he's seeing this beautiful tree that will become in 5 or 10 years. It's amazing. I mean, I don't know if I could be a gardener, because to have the sight, the future sight of what this thing's going to become, and to know what cuts to make because this is going to happen in the future. It's amazing. But when he looks at your life, that's exactly what he's doing. So when he puts his finger on your life, he's seeing 10 years down the road thinking, this area, we got to start working on this right here. And you think, what the heck? Leave me alone for a minute. This, like, that's not even a part of my life. Like, get out of here. And he's like, no. 10 years from now, it's going to be powerful, right? So what's it like when God prunes you personally, and how do you survive a season of pruning? Great question, Grant. Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. Let me tell you, when God prunes you, he can use anything in the world to prune you, okay? He's a crafty little fellow. He can use I feel like he can use anything. He can use all sorts of circumstances. He can use people. He can use jobs. He can use money. He can use weather. He can use cars. You know, he can use all sorts of crazy stuff that you would never expect. He can use everything happening around you to prune you, to get you just into the person that he wants you to become. And it's difficult to be able to discern when he's pruning different areas of your life. It's hard. Okay? And you may not realize, oh, that happened because God's pruning me. You probably won't realize that most of the time, okay? But it's good to keep your eyes open and pay attention and try to stay moldable and pliable in those times. Sometimes he may remove amazing people from your life. Sometimes he may bring not so amazing people into your life. Sometimes he may cause a change of job. Or sometimes he might put his finger on your finances for a little while, right? Sometimes he may literally turn off passions and giftings altogether. You may be amazing in this one area, and he can just be like, it's weird. If it's ever happened to you, you know it's weird. It happened to me. I was a youth pastor. I thought I'd be a youth pastor forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. I thought I was going to save all the youth of America. I was going to be amazing. That's all I was going to do for the rest of my life. And one night, I get in my car, and I think, this stinks. I don't want to do this anymore. And I was like, oh, who said that? Who's in my car? And I said, Lord, what the heck was that? He goes, I just turned the switch off. And I was like, you can't do that. That's not a thing. Like, I've literally never had any other passions in my life. You can't do that. He does it because he prunes you. He knows where he's going to take you, and he knows how he needs you to look and be and everything, and just flip the switch. Sometimes he might ignite new passions or parts of your life to cause you to run in a new or certain direction, okay? It looks different every time. How he prunes is incredibly difficult to discern, but we need to realize he's like the master composer, like a maestro, like a symphony director, okay? He looks at your life, and he looks at all the situations of your world, and sometimes he just does this little, you know, and this beautiful new piece of the song comes out. And then sometimes he'll chop off a piece of the orchestra in your life, make it stop. And then sometimes he'll get real animated. It seems like everything's swirling and changing and everything's going around. He's this amazing symphony director, and if you will let him, he will make the most beautiful music of your life if you'll let him. But great music can't be great music without some drama, without some conflict of some sort, without some friction of some sort. If it's just beautiful, peaceful music the whole time through, it puts you to sleep, right? He's an amazing composer. Let him be an amazing composer for you. So if you're feeling pressed, pay attention because it might be God pruning your life because he sees something great that he'd like to do for you to become years down the road. So what can you do when you feel that pressing? Cooperate. Allow him to do his thing. Seek him. Ask him what he's doing. Ask him how you can respond best. What's the very worst thing you can do when he's trying to prune you? Fight it. Exactly. Okay? The very worst thing you can do, when he's trying to chop off a branch, he comes over and you're like, no. I love this branch. This is my favorite branch ever. You can't take this from me. No. And he's like, but you don't understand. It's dead. And it's bringing disease into your life. You're like, no, it's not. It's beautiful. Look how it looks pretty. I painted it. It's awesome. He's like, I want to cut it off. And you're like, no, don't take it from me. And you fight him. You know, the Lord is so good, and he pays attention to your desires so much that if you will fight him enough, he will let you keep that thing in your life. What? It's crazy. Or maybe sometimes he comes along without you realizing. You're like working over here and chops off a branch. My branch! I love this branch. And he's like, sorry, I cut it off. And you're like, no, this is my favorite. I'm not letting go. And you hang on to that branch for a long time. You know what happens if you hang on to that dead branch that he already chopped off for a long time? It will stop you from growing in that area that he wants you to grow because you're exerting all of your strength trying to hold on to this old dead thing that he chopped off, and you won't receive the growth that he desires for you. So you just need to let go. He comes along. He's like, hey, Bob, how you doing, buddy? You doing great? We need to be like, okay, cool. You know, I thought it was a good welder, but okay, that's fine. You want to take that away? Wherever you want me to go, I'll go, right? Man, I thought I was really good at loving people, but now I hate all people. So, okay, help me. I guess I need to learn more. You know, like, whatever it is, cooperate. Don't fight. Don't hang on to the old that he's trying to do. Oftentimes, this church will get pruned. It will go through seasons of pruning in the last, 3 years of trying to grow the church, whatever. We've been in church for two, something like that. So a few years ago, I was whining. We were going through a season of pruning, and a few of our really good friends were moving on. And this, we had probably three different sets of people that were they're kind of moving on for whatever reason. Now, I want you to keep in mind with this church is called to be like a landing strip, right? We're supposed to equip people and release people. We were supposed to bring them in, fill them up, send them out. And so we've done that a bunch over the last several years with a lot of different people. We just did it again last week with Joseph and Misty, who a lot of you guys didn't even really get to know, but they're amazing people. And they came in, they got filled up, they got restored, they got envisioned, and then God sends them out to Atlanta to go do ministry in these apartments, right? It's who we are. And honestly, it kind of stinks at times when that happens because these are friends, you know, your buddies that you want to be with forever, and God moves them on. But that's who we are. That's what God's called us to be. And so that we're in a season like that a few years back. And I'm whining and crying like, gosh, darn it, not again. I hate this process. Why are we doing this again? Come on, Lord, I don't like this. Why are you taking my buddies away? This one especially, man, I really look to him for like prophetic advice and wisdom and encouragement, all this kind of stuff. And the Lord laughed at me and he said, ha, son, you clearly have no idea how pruning works. I was like, oh, excuse me, Mr. Gardner, what do you know about pruning? And he says, you don't understand. When I prune something, there is a promise of exponentially better fruit than what you had before. Whatever I just chopped off, it's a promise that something much better is on its way right now. And so I said, that's about what I said. But then literally the next week, okay, so we just had pruned one of my buddies who was so helpful in the prophetic, and I kind of felt like, man, we really need that. What are we going to do? Within, I think it was 2 weeks, the Lord had brought three people to come alongside and to walk relationally with us, to speak prophetically into the church. And these people, all three of them, operated at a whole nother level of the prophetic than what my friend did. And the Lord reminded me 2 weeks later, see, told you, that's how it works. And the Lord corrected my thinking of pruning way back when. Oh, way back when, 2 years ago. But now, when the church goes through a season of pruning, which we're kind of in at the moment, okay, we're going into, I think, but the Lord's, I'm excited because the Lord's doing a fresh thing. He's doing a new thing, and the promise is exponentially more fruit than what we had before. Okay, so now when pruning comes in my life personally or for the church, I can be excited because I know God is a good God. He has great plans for us, and he's going to do what he wants with us. If we'll just stay pliable and moldable, he'll get us where he wants us to be. Okay? Disney Cruise. Disney is good at pruning. We've been on three Disney cruises now. The first two were amazing. We loved it. We thought it was the best thing in the whole wide world, and we're going to go forever. And we still kind of think that way. Well, after the last one that we did, we started hearing news that they're going to dry dock the boat. We've been on the same boat three times now. They're going to dry dock the boat, and they're going to remove some of these amazing, amazing parts of the boat. the Disney Kids Club, which is this 10,000 square foot amazing kids place. All the kids want to do is just hang out in the kids club all day long. They're going to remove two big chunks of the Disney play area. There's this whole world of Monsters Incorporated that the kids, it's like a jungle gym kind of thing the kids could run through and play, and it was awesome. They're going to get rid of it. And I can't remember what the other one was, but it was amazing too. And they're going to get rid of it too. And they're also going to remove the arcade, okay? These places, parts of the boat that people cherished and they loved and they thought were amazing, they're going to get rid of them. What are they thinking? Disney's stupid. So we show up on the boat this time, and they've pruned parts of the boat. They removed what was cherished and beautiful and good, but they put in something that was unbelievably amazing. The Millennium Falcon is inside the boat. What? You can fly the Millennium Falcon inside the boat. It's amazing. Then they did this Disney Infinity play area. Jack literally never left. He never wanted to go anywhere. He would cry when we tried to pull him out. He loved the Disney Infinity play area, which was what replaced the Monsters, Inc. And then the arcade area, they got rid of the whole thing, and they put in Vanellope's Sweet Shop, which was amazing, from Wreck-It Ralph. And it's like walking into the video game. And when you walk by, the smell is just like drawing your name, like, oh, come to me. It smells so good. They pruned the ship to bring what was good and make it amazing with great fruit for years to come. When we were at Disney World, they did it again. Hollywood Studios. For years, they're known, the big picture of Hollywood Studios was this huge Mickey Mouse hat from Fantasia. It had the stars on it. It's like 40 feet tall. It's huge. It brought shade to everybody. You could go under. There's a shop under there. You could walk through the middle of this Hollywood Studios and kind of hang out under the hat. Everybody, if you wanted to meet somebody, go meet at the hat. Go meet at the hat. It was like the beacon of the whole place. And we start hearing they're going to remove the hat. We're thinking, what? The hat is the whole park. What are you doing? You can't remove the hat. So we get there this time, and the hat's gone. And where the hat was, there's this outdoor stage that's small and dinky and black and dumb. And I'm like, Disney, you're stupid. Why are you removing the hat? I love the hat, and it's gone, and now it's a black stage. What the heck? So we go all day long, and I'm wondering, why did they take the hat away? This literally makes no sense. This is stupid. And 10 o'clock at night, the new Star Wars fireworks show is debuting. I think it just finished that week. Okay? And it's like these engineers sat down together, and they were like, okay, what would make the most epic show of all time? Okay, we definitely need fireworks, right? Obviously. Okay, what if we had lasers? Yeah, lasers are cool. Okay, what if we had fog machine? Yeah. What about fire? Yeah. What if we use a projector with videos, but we put it on entire buildings across the whole park? It was literally like everything they could think of they did in this one Star Wars show that was epic. So we're sitting under where the hat used to be, basically, and all of a sudden it makes sense because you can see all these buildings and all this video and all these lasers and all these fireworks that you could not see before because the hat was in the way. Exponentially better than what they had before. All right? Then we were in Epcot, and we waited a couple minutes in this line for the first day of Frozen Fever, the ride. It was literally the first day it opened. Rachel really wanted to go. We may have waited for 5 hours. So anyway, we go to this ride, and we get in there 5 hours later. It was amazing. I mean, the animatronics were like legit, like the movie in person, these robots that are, it's real. It's weird. It was beautiful. It was amazing. And the ride, you get in this boat, and it goes like forward and up and down and backwards, and it was crazy. We got off the ride, and it was really cool. And then later that night, when we're at the fireworks show, or the next day, this guy tells Rachel that the ride, it used to be called Maelstrom, and it was a ride that lots of people loved, and it was a great ride that was kind of cherished by people. It was this ride set in Norway. Oh, by the way, the Riders of Norway, we had to wait in China for like 5 hours to get to the ride. That was awesome, in the sun. So, okay, so Maelstrom, they killed Maelstrom to put in Frozen Fever, okay? It was this beloved thing. They got rid of it. They put it in. Come to find out, it's literally the exact same ride with a couple new characters inside. So we waited 5 hours for an old ride. Moving on. They pruned it. They pruned Maelstrom to give you something so much better, okay? So Disney is excellent at taking things and pruning them for the more long-term vision of what could be absolutely incredible. And when they do it, people don't understand why they do it, and they get mad, and they think, you are doing the wrong choice. This is stupid and dumb. Don't do it. But Disney knows. They can see the big picture. And that's exactly how the Lord works in your life if you'll let him, okay? So, in conclusion, how do you respond when the Lord is pruning you? Do you let him do his thing, or do you fight it? You kick and scream, and you hold on to the old dead fruit. When he's pruning you, do you pay attention and realize, oh, the Lord's pruning me right now. I understand what he's doing. Do you begrudgingly go along with it, or do you welcome him with open arms because you trust that his dream for your life is so much better than anything you've ever imagined for your own? My challenge today is that we repent and we embrace his times of pruning. Amen? So let's close our eyes. I'm going to turn on the music for a second. Father, we just say yes and amen to your pruning, and we acknowledge the ways that you work. We know that you see the very best for our own lives. And God, I'm just asking that you teach us today. You put this deep inside of our hearts, this love for pruning. Even though it hurts, even though it doesn't make any sense when it happens, give us a love for being pruned because we know that there's a promise of exponentially better fruit when it comes our way. God, help us to be moldable. Help us to be pliable. Help us to yield wholeheartedly to you in Jesus' name so that whatever your dream for our lives is, we could say yes and amen, and we could grow into that person that you dream of us becoming. And Lord, we just repent for every place where we've held on to old dead branches or where we've protected parts of our life that we think are so great that you want to chop off so that we can focus on other areas. We repent for those things, God. Cleanse us. Teach us to think rightly about your character, to not fear you when you come around with the pruning shears, but to be open and to embrace your change. In Jesus' name, amen.